Let's read together this morning Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Text for the sermon this morning will be Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. We'll read together this brief psalm for our Bible reading, the heading of which is a psalm of praise. I'll have more to say about that in the introduction to the sermon in a moment. This is God's word to us in Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. And now the text. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. So far we read God's Word. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 100 weaves together two themes that make it appropriate for us to consider this morning on Thanksgiving Day. The first theme is the theme of gratitude. I said before we read the Bible that I'd have more to say about the heading of Psalm 100. As we have it in our King James Version of the Bible, the heading of Psalm 100 is a psalm of praise. And even though it's the case that the headings are not inspired, nevertheless, we consider them to be accurate and useful. Well, with that heading of Psalm 100, the better translation of it is not praise, but thanksgiving. If you have a reference Bible, possibly in the margin, you have a note that indicates that. That Psalm 100 has as its heading a psalm of thanksgiving. And what makes Psalm 100 special is the fact that it is the only psalm where that is the heading. Many psalms obviously speak of the theme of praise, but there's only one psalm that has as its heading a psalm of thanksgiving. The entirety of Psalm 100 has as its focus gratitude to God. That's the first theme that makes it appropriate for us to consider on this Thanksgiving morning. The second theme that is woven throughout the psalm is that of worship. Psalm 100 is not just a psalm on gratitude generally, but Psalm 100 is on the theme of thanksgiving as it is expressed in the public, communal worship of God. Our Reformed fathers determined it to be wise and good for us on this Thanksgiving Day to come together for worship. There are several reasons that stand behind that, but certainly one of the main reasons, very simply, is this. If this is a day of thanks, and we as believers desire to be thankful to God, there is no better way to do that than to gather together publicly for worship. One of the chief ways in which we as believers express gratitude to God is by doing what we're doing right now. Coming together to worship God. And because of those two themes, gratitude and worship, it's appropriate for us to spend a few moments this morning, beginning this day, here in God's house, hearing His Word preached, and particularly this word from the end of Psalm 100. Let's look at this under the theme, Enter with thanksgiving. Let's see the 3 points. Number one, the calling. Number two, the reason. And then number three, the duration. The calling, the reason, and the duration. The main calling of Psalm 100 verse 4 is to enter. Psalm 100 is interesting because it has many sharp imperatives. And we come to verse 4 and the beginning is enter. Enter, the text says, the courts and the gates of God. The word here in Psalm 100 is obviously referring to the Old Testament Israelites' calling to go to the temple. But the point of Psalm 100 is not just to say that they are to go to the temple, enter into the temple, but they are to do so in a certain way in order to engage in a certain activity. They are to do so in this way, with thanksgiving. And the activity that they are to engage in is to be thankful and bless God's name. It's obvious that the text is referring to the worship of God at the temple. The gates and the courts are very simply the gates that entered one into the courts of the temple that surrounded the building of the temple itself. It's obvious that gates and courts refer to the Old Testament house of God. The application, therefore, for us this morning as God's people is, and this is the first thing that comes to mind, coming here to the house of God, which is the Church of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament calling to enter into God's gates and courts is the New Testament calling to enter into church. To enter here into the house of God with thanksgiving to bless God's name. That's the obvious main application that comes to us as New Testament believers from this text. But it's very important for us this morning to see that for you and me this morning, this is such a greater reality than what it was for the Old Testament Israelites. They went to the temple of God in order to enter into the very presence of God. Psalm 100 talks about that in verse 2. Come before His presence with singing. That's what made the worship of God at the temple so important and so amazing. In a special way, God was at the temple. It was His house. When they went to the temple, they were entering into God's presence in a unique way that was not done in other places outside of that temple. What we need to see this morning is the greater reality that this is for you and me as New Testament believers. And that is because what they did in the Old Testament was only something that they did infrequently throughout the year. God commanded the Old Testament Israelites to enter into His temple, especially 3 times associated with the special feasts of the Old Testament. And they could go and would go for other occasions as well. But the primary command of God was to enter into the gates and courts of God for those special feasts spread throughout the year. And you immediately, when you think of that fact, realize the greater reality that this is for you and me today. On account of the coming of Jesus Christ, His atoning death on the cross and His victorious resurrection and ascension into heaven, after which He poured out His Catholic Spirit, the reality for the New Testament church is that God gathers His people the world over and God communes with His people no longer in one nation and in one location in that nation, the temple, But God communes with His people the world over, where two or three are gathered, and where God's people gather together for the worship of His name. We enter this morning into the gates and courts of God, into His very presence. And we do that not sporadically throughout the year, but as New Testament believers because of the finished work of Christ. We do that every week on the Sabbath day. And we can do that even during the week on a day like today, Thanksgiving Day. The greater reality for us is that all our life long we enter into the house of God, which is to say, we enter into the very presence of God in worship. And that right there, if you just stop right there, leads us to see one of the great reasons that we have thanks in our hearts as New Testament believers. That we are able to enjoy all of our life long in this special way, communion with God in worship. So we hear that command this morning to enter. But as I said at the beginning of the sermon, it is a command especially to enter in a certain way in order to engage in certain activity. And there are three main ideas expressed in verse 4. It is to enter with thanksgiving. That's the main idea. It's repeated then in the verb form at the end of the verse, to be thankful unto Him. And with that thanksgiving, it is to be accompanied by praise and blessing. Those are the three ideas. Thanksgiving, praise, and blessing. The main word is that of thanksgiving. We are to enter with thanksgiving, something in our heart, and with that in our heart, we are to be thankful. The word thanksgiving in the text has as its root idea to throw or to cast or to shoot. Maybe you recall that not that long ago, I preached from Psalm 139, fearfully and wonderfully made. And in that text, the same word and the same idea is expressed. The fundamental root idea of thanksgiving is connected with this idea of casting and throwing and shooting. And the idea is that God has given us so much, and God is the amazing God that He is, that we then in response cast back to Him appropriate actions and appropriate words in light of who He is and what He has done for us. And that is why so often this word gratitude or thanks is translated as praise, as it is in the title of Psalm 100. Because right there, when I expressed that a moment ago, you see how closely connected gratitude and expressions of praise are. One of the great ways in which we show gratitude to God is by casting back to God by our words and actions that which shows that our hearts are filled with gratitude. And that's why in the text, when it speaks of thanksgiving, closely connected to that are the words praise and blessing. We show the gratitude to God that is in our hearts, and we express that thanks to God by praising God and by blessing God. The word praise speaks of our boasting and glorying in God. And the whole psalm emphasizes that idea. That we boast in God, that we glory in God. And the ideas of boasting and glorying are closely connected with the ideas of joy and excitement and loud exclamations of praise. That's what's going on in Psalm 100 at the beginning. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. That is taking upon our lips as it comes from our hearts the glorying and the boasting in who God is. When we with joyful exclamations speak of the greatness of God, that in and of itself is the expression that we are thankful to God as we render Him the words of praise that He is due as God. And then the text goes on and speaks of blessing God. And that word bless emphasizes humility as we stand before one who is sovereign. That word bless literally has as its idea to bow or to get on one's knee. The noun knee comes from the verb that means to bless. And that's all about humility. That's all about lowering one in front of another by that to express the one before me is sovereign, exalted, high and lifted up. And that's our expression of thanks to God as well. We boast in this God, not as those who think we are equal with this God, but we boast in this God as those who are humbled, who know who we are as we stand before Him. And therefore we lift Him up as the God who reigns on high. Psalm 100 verses 4 and 5 guards against two ever-present dangers when it comes to the worship of God and the expressing of thanks to God in that worship. The first danger is that we only come to church and enter into God's presence out of custom or habit. Always a temptation for the church, New Testament and Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 28 speaks of that. They draw nigh to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. That was a temptation in Old Testament Israel. That was a reality in Old Testament Israel, even when it was the case. Think about the point that I made right at the beginning, that they did not go to the temple, the everyday Israelite, with the regularity that we come to the house of God. But yet still, that was the temptation that they succumbed to time and time again throughout the history of the Old Testament. It all became a matter of outward formality and custom. And how much more is that a danger for us who come here twice every Lord's Day and who come here on this Thanksgiving morning? May it not be the case that we're here simply because this is what we do on Thanksgiving, in the same way that what we eat on Thanksgiving is turkey. It's just what we do. No, this is the antidote. Psalm 100, hearing the command of the text and by the grace of God following the command of the text, which is, no, when you come, and do come, the solution is not avoid it because you can't do it right. No, that's not the idea. Come, and when you come, do it with hearts that are filled with thanksgiving, praise, and blessing. So it guards against that danger, number one. And it guards against, in the second place, the danger of when we come to the house of God for worship, that we don't come in order, first of all, to receive, but we come, first of all, to give. That too, because of our selfish natures, can be a danger when we think about worship. That we come all about wanting to receive and get something. We get something. We do receive. There's no doubt about that. God works powerfully through the public worship of His name and the preaching of the gospel. But our mentality fundamentally must always be this first. We come here to give. That's Psalm 100. It's all about giving, and that's what Thanksgiving is all about. It's giving. It's looking outside of ourselves to someone else and giving that one what they are worthy of. And what we're talking about today, obviously, is God. And when we come to the house of God, it is all about our giving to Him, thanksgiving, blessing, and praise. And that's true in all of the elements of our worship. When we sing, it's about rendering from our hearts praises to God. We are casting back to God by our songs and words, the praise due to His name. Same thing in our prayers. In the middle of the worship service, when we have offerings, it's not just collections, it is offerings. They are offerings that we render to God first out of gratitude for what He has given to us. And even right now, when we sit under the preaching of the gospel, we are praising, blessing God. When you in your heart say amen to the sermons, when you in your heart say, I believe this, when you in your heart says, this is the revelation of God in Jesus Christ, and it's the most glorious revelation in all of the world, that in your heart is a rendering of praise to God as you acknowledge and confess the truth of His Word. And then you go from it, living a certain way, which is our gratitude to God as well. The mentality that we have to have is that we're here to give. Because that's what worship is. And with that mentality, we receive. God blesses us and God strengthens us. But Psalm 100 guards against that danger as well and gives us our primary focus when we come together here in God's house. Psalm 100 makes very clear the reason that we enter, and that we enter with the thanks and praise in our hearts. That's verse 5. 4. 4 always expresses the reason. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to all generations. Before we explain that particularly, why we are to be thankful, there's something more basic that we should say. And that is that we are to know this God. And that our knowledge of God goes hand in hand with our being thankful to God and blessing His name. In Psalm 100, verse 3, we read this, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God." In the midst of the psalm on gratitude, there's that statement, know it. Know fundamentally this, that Jehovah is God. And the more you know God, the more you know who He is in His being as God revealed in the Scriptures, and the more you know who He is in the revelation of Christ and salvation in Him, and the more we fill our minds and fill our hearts with the reality of God, the more we will be led to be thankful to Him, to bless and to praise His name. What goes hand in hand with gratitude, praising and blessing is knowledge. And there too, we find a great reason for being here in the house of God on a Thanksgiving Day. Because this worship service and this preaching leads us to say, we know better the God of all things and the God of our salvation. And just that knowledge itself leads us to go forth in a day of gratitude and a life of gratitude. Particularly what we know about Him, as it's expressed in our text, is that He is good. That's the main statement of verse 5. For Jehovah is good. This is a repeated theme of the Psalter, and really a thread that goes from the beginning to the end of the Bible. God is good. Psalm 106. Verse 1, praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Psalm 107, verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Psalm 135, verse 3, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. In the beginning, God created all things as the good God that He is. And He looked at the creation and He said, it is good. So that in 1 Timothy, when we think about the creation and the things of this earth, we don't say with respect to them that they are evil. But because God, who is good, created them, we say that the things of this earth that we have are good. And we as believers can taste, therefore, and can see that the Lord is good. Our confession concerning God is always, God is good. God is not evil. God is not malicious. There's nothing dark about the reality of God Himself. He is pure light, and He is pure goodness. One of the passages that helps us understand the goodness of God is Exodus chapter 33 and 34. In Exodus 33 and 34, there is a line drawn that connects God's glory to God's goodness to God's attributes. And especially the attributes of God's grace and mercy and love. In Exodus 33, verses 18 and 19, we read this. This is the word of Moses to God. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And this is God's response. And He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And then in Exodus 34, when God does that, He names His attributes, and the ones at the center are those of grace and mercy and long-suffering. There's a line drawn from God's glory, to His goodness, to His perfections. And that's the goodness of God, that He is good, is on account of who He is as God in His attributes. He is good because He is gracious. He is good because He's merciful. He is good because He's loving. He's good because He's wise. He's good because He's holy. He's good because He's just. And every other attribute beside, because He's God, He is, and everything He does is good. Don't doubt goodness of God, beloved. On this Thanksgiving Day, don't doubt that God truly is in His being and works in every regard good. That was the temptation at the beginning of the devil to Eve. One of the ways to look at that temptation and what Eve did in response is in the framework of God's goodness. Casting doubt upon God's goodness. How could He be good to you if He gives you this command to not eat of this tree and to eat only of this tree and the other trees? That can't be for your good. There must be something behind that, some malicious evil intent behind that. Why else would He not want you to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And all of a sudden the mind starts turning and things start happening in that mind. And Eve herself doubts that goodness and then lusts after that fruit and eats of that forbidden fruit. The devil always tempts us not to believe in and not to be convicted of the fundamental truth. God is good. He's good in everything He does. He's good in everything He is. And even though there is the reality of sin and death and judgment, that does not cast a shadow upon the goodness of God. But in fact, as He overcomes it in Christ, and as it reveals greater who He is in His righteousness and justice, it declares God is good. The particular emphasis of the goodness of God, though, is always on His goodness to you and to me. And that's the emphasis of the text. That's the emphasis because in the first place it's Jehovah that is good, the Lord, Jehovah. And in the second place, because it goes on to say He is the God of mercy and truth. That's the expression of God's goodness. His mercy is everlasting. God's mercy is His pity upon us in our sin and misery. His pity upon us such that He then lifts us up out of our misery into His own life as God. He can only do that in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why the mercy of God is always grounded in and based upon the finished atoning work of Christ. In that temple, the Ark of the Covenant, with the mercy seat sprinkled with the blood, the foundation and basis of God being good to His people and merciful to His people. And the nature of that mercy, according to the text, is that it is an everlasting mercy. It is from eternity to eternity, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And for that mercy this morning, we are thankful. Chiefly for that mercy of God, we are thankful. As we come to the house of God as sinners this morning, who every day know the greatness of that sin and depravity, we are led to say about God, He is so good to us in the Lord Jesus Christ because He had mercy upon us. And in Christ He lifted us up out of our misery so that on this Thanksgiving Day we are not those with long faces and all tears, sorrow and sadness. We are those with joy. And we do shout with joy because of the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. And His truth endureth to all generations. Really better there is faithfulness, steadfastness endures to all generations. Exactly because His mercy is everlasting, exactly because of that, His truth, His faithfulness is to all generations. And that makes sense. If it's true that God is merciful from everlasting to everlasting, if in eternity He said, upon these I will shower my mercy. And that's from everlasting to everlasting, every generation in between. Therefore, God is faithful too in showering down upon them the love and saving work of Christ. What we have here is the covenant of God, for which we are thankful this morning. That God is a covenant God to us so that we enjoy Him and His communion. And that He is faithful to us as believers and our children. Truly, every reason to have hearts of gratitude on this Thanksgiving Day. And it will be a gratitude regarding its duration that is forever. The nature of our praise and thanks and blessing of God is to eternity. It was in the Old Testament, in the house of God, which was the temple, to which they went and enjoyed the fellowship of God and praised God. It's in the New Testament church, where all throughout our lives, on the Sabbath day and even during the week, we enter into the presence of God, praising and blessing and being thankful to Him. But that Old Testament temple, house of God, and this New Testament church, the house of God, are but pictures of and leading to the eternal house of God. The eternal dwelling place of God. The new heaven and new earth, where we will be with God in Jesus Christ forever. Exactly because the nature of God's mercy is everlasting, we owe to God and we will give to God everlasting thanks and praise. If it wasn't everlasting, why would we, into all eternity, live with God with thankful, praising hearts? If at some point it would ever be the case that the mercy of God stops, God is no longer merciful to us, that you have to put a time stamp on the mercy of God, you would come to a point where we would say, no longer do we have to praise and be thankful to God for His mercy, but that's never the case. It's never the case because the nature of who God is infinite, and the nature of His goodness to us is everlasting. And because it's everlasting, what we do now sinfully in the house of God this morning and on Sunday and all our life here on this earth, we will do perfectly forever. In the house of God to come, when Jesus Christ returns. And knowing that is our end, gives us all the greater reason to be a people of gratitude this morning. And to show that gratitude by our presence here and worship here. And to show that gratitude when we go out these doors this morning and live in this day, to the glory of God's name. Amen. Father in heaven, we're thankful that we could begin this day in Thy house, and that we could look back at the Old Testament house, and also forward to the house of Thine in the new heaven and new earth, where we will praise and worship Thee and be thankful to Thee forever. Receive our worship and praise this morning. Sanctify it and make it holy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.